Auntie Johnson, Visit to Extraterrestrial Civilizations. Introduction. This story is about a man from Sweden who in the 80s, was contacted to people from another planet, but the primary contact girl who appeared some later, apologized for their stupid way of trying to get his attention and getting started the agreed contact. Something he did not remember as it was from the so-called subconscious mind. But despite the clumsy start, it gradually started. They claimed that they had survived him for 30 years prior to his contact. Text here is most written in now time form. Auntie Johnson writes about his first strange meeting. On the night of Friday, February 3, 1984, I was on my way home in the car from my friends in Indelstad to my home in Tingsryd, about 20 kilometers further south, in southern Småland. It was snowing heavily. The temperature was 0 degrees and it was quite slippery. I was probably a speed of 70 kilometers per hour, but slowed down to 60 kilometers per hour near a wild road, where it happened some accidents involving crossing moose and deer. I was then not far from Urasa airfield. At the beginning of a meadow on the left side of the road, I suddenly saw a dark, fairly small figure. My first thought is that there is someone on their way home to Urasa or Vakulsang. In the middle of the meadow I see as a large black object that appears to hang in the air about 10 feet above the ground. I slow down further and get an idea of the object to be 70 to 80 meters long and between 5 and 10 meters high. The dark person that I have just passed is suddenly gone. I crank down the window to listen, but not the slightest sound. A thought pops up: the camera. I depress the accelerator to hurry home and get it. On the way, I'm wondering what kind of object it could have been. A helicopter or an airplane? No, it can hardly have been, for neither the size or appearance fit. At home in Tingsryd the light is off in the house. But my wife is awake and tells me to lock the garage. I tell her that I simply must have my camera and go to Vakulsang to photograph a flying saucer or something similar. While I was heading against Vakulsang in fairly high speed, I think of the chance that I can get my life's picture. Arriving at the meadow, I find to my great disappointment, that the object has disappeared. But when I drive up against the road to Urasa to turn, I see something I never thought possible. I slammed on the brakes so hard that I spun around a full turn on the slippery road, and suddenly I stood with the car lights directly at the object, which stood still in the middle of the road with what I saw as the nose straight towards me. Since I could not get past, around, so I tried to swing to the left to turn. I got another slap on the car so that I was about to collide with the object. How it was, I came up in a snowbank, continued across Urasa Road and got stuck in a snowbank on its side. Unable to reverse the car, I opened the door to go out and look how much I was stuck. First meeting. When he was taken by a robot-like creature. I have never been afraid and scared easily, but what I saw when I opened the car door scared me to the point that it took a long time before I could utter a sound. But then I yelled as I believe no one has screamed. I saw a creature that grabbed me and more or less lifted me out of the car. I kicked and screamed all I could, and somehow I managed to escape and ran to a house some distance toward Urasa Road. Then suddenly was the next creature in front of me, and same thing happened again. It grabbed me, while the first took me in the back. I tried to get loose again, I hit wildly around me and saw one of them in what I presumed was the head. But they were just as black as the craft, so I saw no face on any of them. How it was, I tore myself away again and ran towards the house. Then came a third creature in front of me, and the next moment I saw the craft again, hanging about 10 feet in the air. Now all three were on me and we rolled around on the road. As I understood it, they wanted me into the craft. Just now I saw that it seemed as if they did not have any legs, they sort of hovered a few inches above the ground. I was paralyzed and with no resistance on my part, we were heading for the craft. What happened next I do not remember, maybe I had fainted. When they finally released me, we were only very still and looked at each other. Then I saw the lights of a truck, which was heading in our direction. I started running towards the road, but my legs carried me not, but I crawled out. When the truck drove by, I saw how the creatures disappeared obliquely backwards and upwards, and I crawled over to my own car. I noticed that I was cold and wet on one foot and discovered I had no slippers at me. Then I began to shake and get some strange tingling in hands and something unpleasant in the throat. Then I do not remember much more, until it was someone outside the car. Later I learned that it was the police. I have a faint recollection that they talked to me. Then I lost my memory until I wake up in the street Siegfried's Hospital in Växjö, the nearest city. When I had this after pondering on what had happened, so I regret a little that I did not go with them voluntarily into the craft, if I have not already been in it. But I acted as everyone else would have done in my situation. And another thing. I cannot understand why it was so quiet. The only sound was a barking dog. I've read those so-called UFOs emit both light and sound. But this was, as I said, quiet. Not the least light was seen, not even a tinge of all the black. Actually, I should tell you a little about what happened at St. Siegfried's Hospital the time I was there. But it was all so horribly ridiculous, that I hope no one ever should have to experience something similar, so humiliating it was. I and the other patients were treated as if we were not more than 3-4 years old. It is clearly much that needs to be amended in the Swedish healthcare system. Released from the hospital, I am called to the criminal investigation department in Växjö, where I, in a kind of questioning, will tell you what happened. In the end, I am now on the crime scene, that's all. Then I wonder why they do not do any investigation of the places where everything was played out. I get a strange statement, to say the least. They say or claim that I have not been through this as I told you, but have been there in quite different matters. As they claim I am a spy, as I had a camera and some military base nearby. What other issues do I get out of my wife? At home with her, the police have been with the preposterous idea that I would be a spy, hired by someone else to go and shoot at Eurasa Airfield, which is a military base. I know they took my camera, when they found it in the car. They had been interrogating my wife about what I was doing out there in the middle of the night, and if she thought it was strange that I was not home at night. She had not known, because I quite often photographed night scene. But the police had stood by their idea that I was spying on military installations. But as I said to them afterwards, if I wanted to spy on military defense installations, then I know a lot more items than Eurasia Airfield. I thought the police were there to help people in situations like this and not go after other members of the family with a lot of incorrect and rude statements. 1 month later, 840306 intra comment. Here they try a new way of contact. It means trying to encode in him on a subconscious level, their wish for contact. And comment by Rune, and his book reads further. The first time I met one of these strange objects was about a month ago. I was thoroughly frightened and worried. But ever since this happened, I had a strange feeling that I would meet them again. Several times when I laid down to sleep, it was as if someone had called on me, and it has been going around a couple times a week. I have become restless and unable to sleep. I then got up and walked into the kitchen and lit a cigarette to calm me down. Has the been too difficult, so I've gone out and gone for a ride. In recent weeks I have felt that someone wants me something just before we go to bed. Then I told my wife that I should just take a walk around the block before going to bed. I have not talked about why I go out, because she would probably laugh at me. After the first meeting with them, as I now today call my friends from elsewhere, then both the police and doctors contacted her, my wife, about my so-called ideas, so she does not believe much of what has happened. I blame her not, because it is so I can hardly believe it myself, it's all like a dream. On the night of March 6, I woke up to someone and grabbed me. I thought it was my wife, but she was asleep, so I turned, to sleep on. But again, someone grabbed my left shoulder. I set myself up in bed, and then came back to say the least this strange feeling that someone was calling me. I went into the kitchen as so many times before. But the feeling that someone wanted anything of me became even stronger. I dressed myself and went out into the street. Under the street lamp I stood and smoked, when I saw a person on the street a bit further away. He was bareheaded and wearing a long black coat or cloak. It was as if he called on me, but without any visible sign. I do not know why I went against him, but it felt as if he wanted me anything. When I moved a bit, he's gone. I think that I have imagined myself the whole thing and turned to the right, when he shows up again a bit further away. I walk towards him, but he moves even further away, but not longer than that I see him. But, my God, he more or less floats, because below the edge of his cloak, I see no feet. When he is under a street lamp, I see that his face is almost pure white and terribly narrow and long. I do not know why I follow him, but finally he stops at a meadow, which is about 600-700 meters from my house. He turns inward to the meadow, and when I come to the meadow I see for the second time in my life, such a big black craft that hangs out there, and beside it is another, quite short in stature, man. Insert picture of the long, thin fellow and drawing of the ship. Search also YouTube on Antti Johnson, as this is also on the interview though with some drawings shown on the happenings. But we read on from his book. I do not know why, but I feel now quite calm. I stand for a moment and look out towards the object. Then I caught sight of the tall again, just in front of the craft. It looks the same as last time, though much smaller, maybe 10-15 feet long, 5 meter, and 3 to 3.5 meters high. You cannot see any legs or wheels on it, just something like pontoons on a seaplane. I appreciate the height above ground to 2-3 meters. No movement is visible. It is dark and somber in color, no light or window appears. I hear a faint rustling sound, and so is the man disappeared, then it's as quiet again. But the craft lifts slowly straight up, and then move to me and stay 15-20 feet above me. Suddenly the craft lights on with a faint blue-green light, and in the midst of it all a white. So the lights is switched off. The light elevator demonstration. Similar is told in many such contact experiments, as example this of Enrique Rincon in the early 70s near Bogota, Colombia. Now something happens that more or less makes me breathless. I find myself suddenly 25-30 feet in the air in a standing position, without being able to touch me or yell. I see everything clearly. I cannot hold on to any wires or like, and there's no one holding me. I feel like I was standing on firm ground, but it shows nothing under me more than the trees. Insert picture beam up. How I came up, I have no idea. The voice inside me says I do not need to worry, but try not to be. But, when freely suspended high up in the air without having anything to stay on and not a soul around to shout at, it went well, no more than 10-15 seconds. Until it suddenly stopped and slowed down and placed me between a rock and a flora, in my own garden. Only now I saw the craft again, it hung just over a birch tree away from my garden. At the same time I saw four bright spots in the size of tennis balls approaching from above down to the craft, and then gathered around it. Now they were significantly higher, perhaps closer to 3 feet in circumference, with the craft in the middle, it looked like fifth grade on a die. When the balls approached the craft, it shone bright white, to finally get a yellow-red color, but still with white crosses in the center. The craft did not stop many seconds but set off down towards the lake, which lies 600-700 meters to the south. Strangely enough, it did not follow the globes, but sank slowly down towards the ground, where they resolved. I went in, undressed and wondered what had happened, but I did not say anything to my wife. Travel to unknown planet, 840426. Now it has happened again, I wake up at night by someone calling to me. I go out, find the same man or shape that I have met before, following him to the same place where I last saw the craft. It is the same calm and nice feeling, but with one important difference. When I discovered the craft at this time, I see windows or the like. They are 2 meters long and 25 to 30 centimeters wide, and inside the craft lit with a blue-green light, with some shades of brown. But there is seemingly nothing solid, and it is moving in waves. Suddenly I see a bright glow coming, that grabs me and pulls me into the craft. What then happens is so wonderful and amazing that I hesitate to write it down. I find myself in a place that most resembles a large glass ball with one half opaque and a quarter of the second half with a dull but transparent glass. After a while I feel that one more is in the room, though I do not see any. At the same time I feel it vibrate under my feet. When I look out the window, I see to my horror, that we no longer are at the ground but a few kilometers into the air. I'm trying to say something but could not. In a strange way it feels as if someone asks me to be quiet and sit down. I look around for a chair or similar, but finds nothing but a bench, similar in the strange window, so I put myself down on it. But imagine my surprise when I have sat down, as it like surrounds me and like suck or hold me. Comment, apparently a sort of force field like a car's safety belts, as those were probably not equipped with a force field neutralizing all kind of inertia, like more advanced space travelers seem to have according to contact cases, as those of Sam Jays or read those of Daniel Fry. Rune comment, and story here goes on. Now, the vibrations become stronger and the window is no longer translucent, but still the same soft light in the room. I appreciate that it's been about 2 hours since I came into the craft. Suddenly he stands in front of me, this short figure that I have seen before. Now I see him for the first time in the face, yes, all of him. He is 150 to 160 centimeters long, have normal stature but long arms than me. His hair is more or less colorless, and it grows all over his face, for it shows no ears and no chin. Can it be only much beard? Rorem, two large eyes that are almost black, a flat nose with no visible nostrils and a sharp and large mouth. There appears no teeth, the whole head is globular in a slightly comical way. He looks almost a bit sad, but calm and gentle. He stretches out an arm to me, and in his hand, he has something that resembles a cup with some liquid in. It looks like heavily diluted milk, a little grayish. His hand looks like mine except that it does not show any fingers. He wants me to drink. I hesitate, but he insists, so I do as he wants. It was not very good, a little insipid taste, but still sweet. I ask what it is for, but get no response. Insert drawing of the 150 to 160 centimeters ET. Instead, he turns against a wall, and suddenly a bright picture is visible on the wall. Imagine my surprise when I can read quite common words in Swedish, that, and, then, now. Comment Rune. In all such contact cases the extraterrestrials' contact teams have usually learned the local languages and have made some preparations for the communication. The more advanced races have also translating devices that work both ways when talking by speech, but most use a kind of transferring of thoughts directly into the mind. In some strange way I also get a kind of information transmitted to me by a Swedish-speaking male voice. It sounds as if I heard the voice from within rather than outside. On the board, reaches a strange map image with circular symbols of different sizes, and in the green and blue box, a voice says that there are other planets in our solar system where there is life similar to ours, but with higher intelligence and knowledge. Among other things, has an ability to travel or move themselves in space that we are not around or capable to do. We could take us around much faster if we use the loops in space, whatever that may mean. We should also give up nuclear weapons and the like, before it happens a disaster. Insert picture of ET symbols. This was the last I heard, because suddenly the man was gone. The room got dark but I could see again. I thought that I was down in the meadow again, but I was not. Comment seemingly a kind of 3D movie was shown as also frequently used in such cases. Proceed reading. Admittedly, I saw a forest, some rocks and something that looked like a city. Though it was not like our cities with their houses, streets and cars, it consisted of a bunch of box-like buildings of different sizes inside a circular high and wide wall. Insert an art picture of similar. In the center stood a sort of tower, shiny as chrome, and in an open area at one side of the city stood two similar vehicles like the one I found myself in. Insert drawing of house on another planet. We moved slowly over the city and then over a kind of desert, on a forested mountain range. I saw only two kinds of trees in the forest, one reminiscent of larch and the other on some sort of palm trees with large brown bunches of branches. When we had passed through the woods and mountains as we came to a big water with tongues of land that went straight across from one side to the other, and on every tongue of land, it was a lot of towers with a box-like building in the middle. It was the last I saw of it all. Then we step right up, and the window you could not see out more. The vibration was back and even the man I had met before. I had to put me on that strange bed again. Probably, I had fallen asleep, because I thought it had gone long before I again stood in my garden and saw how it went away down to the lake. But I got the feeling that we would meet again. Drawing of tree on this planet. The second space travel, 840814. It's been nearly 4 months since I last met him, so I thought it was over now. Maybe the whole thing was just my imagination? But now the same thing happened again, the same inner voice that calls on me. I and my smallest daughter has been sleeping for a while, when I wake up because he wants something. I hesitate to leave my daughter alone, but the voice says to me she will sleep all the time. I would not leave her, but do it anyway. Same road, same meadow. This time I go into the craft itself, through a circular opening up some stairs, into the same room as last time. But when I enter the room, then there sits four figures. Three of them are like the short-statured man I met last time, and the fourth is probably the same person that I saw once before in the street. He is longer, taller than the others, has a white face that is reminiscent of ours, but it is a bit narrower and longer with white hair. He asks me to sit down on this self-fitting bench that nearly sucks me in place. As I sat me, then a fifth figure came into the room and gives me a jug with the drink that I had before. I wonder what it is, but says nothing. I still get answers out of the pale man. He says I have to drink it, because otherwise I will not make trip we should do. I wonder where we, he, and why. He explains that we must travel to the same place as last time, but I'll be back before morning. He wants to show me some things that we here on Earth have quite distorted, misinterpreted. I ask why me, and not others who might be more appropriate. He answers that there are others who have experienced the same things as me and that it will be more. You are one of the many who have different beliefs than us on what you call Christianity and history. I answer that there are thousands who do not believe in God. He says that deep down, most of you believe in God, though you dare not show it. He wants to show me what the truth is about our God and Jesus as we read and preach. He would also show what will happen if we insist on producing and using nuclear weapons. How is it done? I ask, while I feel that we have lifted and is on our way from Earth. You will see evidence of self-destruction. There were people on an almost identical planet level and those began to manufacture nuclear weapons to fight each other. It started as on Earth a war between different groups of individuals and ended with almost all life wiped out. What's there today is only the vegetation and a few stations that we have built to try to rebuild a new civilization. This is what we will show you, so you can understand what you are doing to yourselves and your planet. Others have already seen it. And now it's your turn. We have studied your society, since thousands of years and the same pattern is forming as did in the planet of the Delephs. Comment, have not heard that planet or civilization mentioned in other contact cases, but from the other information in this contact, it may what the Samjays contacts mentioned as a group of the refugee planets of the old Liran-Pleiadian wars in this part of our galaxy, as also the Sirius planets was a part of. Rune comment. What you call God, interpreted as physical God or leader, was a Delef who put his son to tell you that you are barking up the wrong way. He was not the only one of the Delefs which were placed on Earth. They were in many other places but was not as known as Jesus because he did some forbidden things to heal the sick. It was not surprising because his father was a doctor on his home planet. When this happened, it was from a planet already way ahead of you in all areas. Inca's ancestor was a Delef. In India and in southern Europe, there were also several Delefs. They taught not only in righteousness, but also in a way of building that today is forgotten. He asks me if we someday could use the stone in the same way as happened in the Inca Empire and Egypt in ancient times. If we could cut out room inside the mountains, making surface as smooth as glass. You have not learned to cut stone in the discs. But when you find what you call Atlantis, then your whole civilization will change in a few years. I will reveal to you that both the Incas and other ancient cultures used such machines to most of their work. They had their machines from the Delphs. You did not find any traces of them, but these can be found in Atlantis, and also of the Incas and the few other places. I ask him if there is evidence all over the world from their existence and from the Delphs. Yes, but you just have not learned to read and interpret all the signs and things that the Delphs left behind. I also ask about Atlantis, how it was and where it is now, but got a more than strange answer. Start looking in your history, but interpreting it right this time, so you can find it. Locate not only the country but also outside Pharaoh, so you get a point. I feel that it has ceased to vibrate, and it has become bright in the window on the wall. I recognize the place from last time and wonder what will happen now. He says that we must change the vehicle, for it to be reloaded, recharged. I wonder if I can go out, but it is apparently not a problem. Once out, it feels like summer at home, comfortably warm but much drier air. We go through a tunnel and find ourselves out on a street with them and those strange houses on both sides. I cannot help but feel on a wall, for they are so strangely smooth. He says it's rock and metal. We have the same metals and stones as you use for your buildings, but we use a different alloy in our metal. We have arrived by a different vehicle and go inside. Now I will show you a destroyed planet, something that also could be your fate. This time, I do not sit up, but must lie down on a similar that I was in before. I think I slept for a while, because I do not remember anything from the moment we drove away until I was asked to sit up and look out. What I now see is a terrible thing, especially given that we can do the same for ourselves on Earth. Cities that are almost buried in stone and sand, buildings and forests that are soaked in water, broken in burned and molten metal. The nasty in all of this is that what is reasonably quite so similar to that found on our own soil. He says, it is no wonder if it is similar to earthly things, for it is the Delphs who have learned to build up what you have and who gave you the technology and science. The only thing that they did not have with them were animals that you can see at us. At one point, I see that they are building some houses of stone, which they cut out of a mountain and then put on a metal construction. A large boulder taken from the mountain to the site with something like a barge. But it hovers in the air and was then lifted as by an invisible hand down on a platform where the rock is placed between two large machines that are similar to tanks. It flashes from both of them, and so our block divided into several flat pieces. They then lower one by one in a basin with water, and it smokes when they are down in the pool. We will build a new city here, he says. I wonder when it will be ready, for with this speed it would be ready in a week. About a month, he replies. We continue to the other side of the mountain, where he shows me the place where this whole Holocaust started, now just a big hole with sand and gravel. There had been a facility as large as Skane with energy supply for half the planet. So now you know maybe what would happen if you do not stop in time. I ask him what I can do about it and who would believe me if I talk about this as I have seen and heard. There are so many on Earth who are against your experiments with nuclear weapons and the like, so you can manage to get your leaders to listen and understand that they are planning for their own destruction. We cannot do anything to help you, because if we would show us, as we have done several times, we would be forced to defend ourselves. Your leaders are taking us for an enemy, but officially we do not exist for them. On numerous occasions we have been chased and shot at, but we have rather fled than have a fight. If we wanted to fight with you, so we could do it, but it would be pointless, for it would not be anything left of you. I'll show you what I mean. We continue a bit further away, and he shows me an almost ruined building. So he asks me to look at the painting on the wall. We fly until we no longer see any of the place we were just on, except on the board. He says that the distance is nearly 1,000 kilometers away. Now look. A flash and a cloud of dust, then it's over. We go back to the scene, only to find that the building is only a smoking heap. Following up this view, we will go further than this enormous rubbish heap of remains from a civilization that long ago ceased to exist. We are heading back to the last planet. While we are on the way, we reason about the Delephs, how they made their way to Earth and how long they stayed. They made it to the Earth with their own craft for centuries before the birth of Jesus.